Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. And how many of you have enjoyed the week of prayer? We started prayer very well. How many of you have enjoyed? How many of you just, okay, Gideon and Beatrice? How many of you, how many others have enjoyed? This is not a secret. It should be really rejoice. Have you enjoyed a time of prayer? Hallelujah. Have you been praying? You've been praying, right? Yeah, it's good to pray, to call upon the Lord. When we do it together, there's power, because you know what the Bible says, one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. I don't even know what number we can chase when all of us engage in prayer. Amen? So take your time. I know you're busy, you have busy schedules, but you can take time. You can find time even while you're driving. When you're going to work, some of you spend just 1 hour on the road, you know, held up in traffic. That'll be a good time to engage and pray and tell God about something that we're all praying together. Amen? And when you do so, the Lord is going to bless you. I've enjoyed myself, and we shall continue to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, this coming week, I have something very unique and special that we want to do that we've never done before. We want to have a media fast. You know, media fast. I know this is very difficult. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, what do you mean by media fast? I know some of you love your... By the way, is football done? It's not done? Okay. I can hear from the loudest voice, the one who loves football. But I want us to have... Okay, this is what we are going to do. In some way, you have a media fast so that you know what? The time that you so much love, you can record your very special program. And instead of watching that program, you read the word of the Lord. Amen? And then this is what we're also going to do. On the church WhatsApp forum, you're going to share with us what the Lord has ministered to you that every day. You know, not very many words, just a line of encouragement so that you can encourage every one of us. If you don't have a scripture, I'll be putting up a scripture every morning, like a chapter that we can all read. And you can tell us what the Lord blessed you, or you can read whatever scripture that the Lord leads you. Amen? So let it be a special one. We are dedicating ourselves to the Lord. I want to draw you to the book of Ephesians. And this is not our text. This is a scripture that blessed me last week. And I hope this is our prayer. As we begin the year, we want to better our lives in every area. We want to better our lives in our work. We want to better our commitments. We want to better whatever the Lord has called us to do this year, our goals that we have set, our dreams. We don't want our dreams to shatter, but we want our dreams to be fulfilled. And, you know, if you have a dream, how many of you know that you have to work towards your dream in order for it to be fulfilled? It is one thing just to have a dream and, you know, and just wish that it's going to be fulfilled. But unless we put some energy, some strength, and some strategy on a dream, it is not going to be fulfilled. It is until we take the very first step, which is usually the most difficult step. You know, do you want to get healthy this week? You know, it all starts by, do you want to get healthy this year? It all starts by one step. Do you want to start exercises this year? It all begins with the one step. And in your mind, you've conceived the idea that you want to begin it. Let me tell you, the most difficult thing to do is to begin. Once you begin and you motivate yourself to continue, you can make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we can make it. So I was thinking about how we can, sometimes we want to have a good relationship with the Lord. And you can, and as I was telling us last week, you know, at the end of the year would be a good point for us to review how the year has been, our commitment to the Lord. Were we so committed to prayer? We were committed to reading the Word. Personally, there are some things that I told the Lord, I didn't do good in A or B. And this year I'm telling God, please help me so that I can improve in where I didn't do good. And I'm just believing God that He's going to strengthen me, He's going to enable me, He's going to lead me, and He's going to guide me so that I can better my strategies of having a relationship with God this year. Amen. And I landed into a scripture in Ephesians chapter number 2 that I really liked. It's a Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. And this is what it says. It's actually in the first chapter of verse number 15. I'll read just briefly. That is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. always remember you in my prayers, asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious Father, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. Amen? So Paul prays for the Ephesians and he tells them that I've heard about the good things that you're doing, but I've never ceased to pray that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know God what? Better. So do you want to know God better? I'm praying that God may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Praise the Lord. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Can we all say that? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. When we gain the understanding, when we have the spirit of wisdom, when we have the wisdom and the spirit of revelation, then according to the word of God, we shall be able to know God better. Now, it is up to us to know how is it to be wise. In the book of James, it says, you know, he who requires or needs wisdom, let him ask him from the Father above. And God is so generous and he's going to give you wisdom. Amen. If you read in the book of James, it talks a little bit about wisdom and what it is to be wise. I believe also the word of revelation or the spirit of revelation is when we read the word of God and the words from the scriptures jump up into our lives and we begin to apply ourselves to the scriptures and we begin to live the word. You know, that's how you get revelation, is by for example, reading when the Bible talks about loving your neighbor. What does it mean for me to love my neighbor? It is actually picking up those words and letting them soak into your lives and applying yourselves to them, and the Spirit of God will lead you to all truth, because that's what it does. So when we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, guess what? In 2016, we shall know God better. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. So we want to improve our lives. We want to get better in every section of our lives. Maybe you've not been having a good family time because of work. It is time to make some adjustments so that you can allocate some time for family, some time with your children. Very, very important to spend time with your children. You know, it's good to model a life. I don't think it's a fair deal to our kids to just think that, you know, life is all about work. I think it's good for them to know also that there's what is called a daddy time, a mommy time with us. You know, a time that we can go out and spend time together. Praise the Lord. You know, and when we get to do these things, we are not only see the importance of them, but we shall reap the benefits of doing that. Praise the Lord. So in 2016, we are yearning to do better even for the Lord. Now, there are a few things that are in my heart I'm thinking about that we need to do in 2016, and we've come around with the leaders, and we've thought of we want to get out for outreach. It has been a burden of my heart since we started this year that, you know, we've had this fellowship. It is warm, it is comfortable, and it feels, you know, it's kind of, you feel protected within this fellowship. But I believe that God is calling us to go beyond the four corners of our church. In other words, we need to go beyond the people that we know. There are people out there who are suffering, people who are going through tough times, and I believe it is time for us to identify with what those people are going through. Amen. So in this year, I believe God is going to give us opportunities where we can just get out of our comfort zone and identify with people who are suffering, people who are experiencing difficult times, and so that we can identify with them and so that we can come to their aid. The other thing that I want us to do this year, and we are trusting God, is to begin some home cell groups, you know, some home fellowships, so that if we live in a certain group, in a certain area, we'll be able to form a little cell or a little fellowship, and those people can be meeting there, and you can be attracting people who are your neighbors. And in so doing, we don't only depend on a Sunday service, because I realize the way life is structured here in America, it is easy. We go from Monday to Monday. We can be going to work and even miss an opportunity to fellowship with one another. And we don't want to fall victims of what the Bible says, neglecting the coming together of one another. Because when we come together, not only do we energize ourselves, but there's warmth in the fellowship of one another. Praise God. So we want to offer that opportunity so that we can belong to a member of a fellowship, home fellowships. And so these are things we'll be announcing to you very, very soon. The other thing is we want to get back to our building project. You know, we started something. Praise the Lord. And it is good for us to fulfill what we started. And therefore, I'm calling upon the building committee. We'll be meeting with them beginning next Sunday so that we can re-strategize. There are things that we are thinking of taking back, maybe our commitments to the families that we have in the church, so that as a family we can target a certain amount through the year when we can keep raising the money. The thing is, we have about 50-something thousand, I think $53,000, $54,000. That money is not enough for us to put a down payment in order to get a building that we need. And I know maybe some of you could be asking, okay, we did a fundraiser. Okay, what happened to the money? The money is safe in the bank. Praise the Lord. But that money is not enough for us to put a down payment, you know, for the building that we need. So we need to continue strategizing and giving towards that cause. Some of you have experienced things in this church. By the way, I'm really thankful to the Lord for giving us an opportunity. We have a place to worship. But sometimes it becomes so restrictive. There are things that we are not able to do in this building. You know, and you know, this is somebody else's building. And they can say one day, hey, you know what, we have use for the building. Just as it happened in Josie, they can say, we have use for this building. We're giving you a notice, and so you need to move. So what are we going to do? So we need to be thinking about that seriously in 2016. And I'm pleading and I'm calling upon every one of us to be on board, just as we have been on board since the first day. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So those are the things. We don't want to give ourselves so many things to do, but those are the things that are in my mind that we shall be pursuing, and we shall be talking about in the weeks following. And we shall be, when we speak these things, we want all of us to jump on board. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so our text today comes from the book of James, chapter number 2, verse number 14 to 24. James chapter number 2, verse number 14 to 24. If you're there, can you say an amen? All right, James 2, 14 to 24. I'm just going to read, you know, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? He's posing a question here. A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give them what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Some might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. 20. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Abraham, our ancestor, was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did worked together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. 23. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says, Abraham believed God and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. And Abraham was called God's friend. 24. So you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not only by faith. Praise the Lord. Another example is Rahab, a prostitute who was made right with God by something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and helped them escape by a different road. Just as a person's body does not have a spirit, is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Praise the Lord. There's sometimes when you read scripture and you wonder, really? Is that in the scripture? Because the way we've been brought up sometimes is to believe a certain way of, to have a way, you know, a certain way of believing scriptures and to do things a certain way we've seen it done. And for a long time, you know, in the church, especially, you know, from where we've come from, it's very, very rare for us to see, or rather to experience the things that are being talked here in the book of James. Praise the Lord. It is like when you heard the gospel, you got born again, and if you are lucky, or if you're in a church that had discipleship, you went to a discipleship class, and you are taught, and you know how to serve the Lord, and how to love the Lord, and how to read the scriptures, and how to pray, and you did all those things, and you've been doing well, you've been praying, and you've been going to church every Sunday, and you know it has been a lifestyle. And honestly, you know, we thank God because He has been faithful and He has been generous to us. He has been a God who answers our prayers. When we call upon Him, He answers. And to us, it's been a journey whereby it has been a journey of trusting God and just believing Him. But when we read the scripture in the book of James, it talks to us about faith. It talks to us, it elaborates to us about having faith in God. And as I was reading this scripture and researching on it, the writers of the people who made commentaries of the book of James chapter number 2, you know, the scripture that we just read, really emphasizes that the teaching of faith really need to be forcefully taught in church. What is faith and what is it that we have believed? Now, I want to draw your attention to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. It is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he tells them, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, and it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that one may boast." Praise the Lord. And many times, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, when I just, you know, received the Lord, I was really confused about what the scripture talks about in the book of the second chapter of James, and what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the second chapter. That salvation, you know, you don't filthy, I mean yourself, righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. Amen? Salvation doesn't come out of works. And I was wondering, okay, what is there not a conflict in what these two scriptures, what Paul writes to the Ephesians and what James admonishes us in the second chapter of James? And I realized that they were speaking from two different contexts. Praise the Lord. While Paul was speaking to the Ephesians, and I think he has also mentioned it somewhere in the book of Galatians, that salvation doesn't come out of works. He was talking about spiritual works. There are people who try to justify themselves or make themselves righteous out of following the law. You know, that, just following the law and thinking that they would make themselves righteous. It's the works of the wars, the performing rituals. You know, back in the day, you know, in the early church, there were all kinds of rituals that they had to perform. And if you are never found to be performing those rituals, you are found out of line. And Paul is speaking to the Jewish people and to the church in Ephesus and in Galatia, and he's telling them that you can only be saved by accepting and by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. It is not by your self righteousness. The work that Paul is talking to the Ephesians is spiritual work. Amen. So there's no one who can be saved by just being so self-righteous. I've met people, when you witness to them, they tell you that, you know what, I've been baptized. In fact, I have a Christian name. In fact, I go to church. Going to church, by the way, doesn't make anybody a Christian. Amen? Hello? Amen. Since everybody can go to church. Amen? Hallelujah? And I was reading the second of James, chapter 19. They says, okay, believe in God. Yes. It is good that you believe in God. But even demons believe in God. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, when they believe in God, they shudder. They shake. They tremble. If you cast out a demon in the name of Jesus, trust me, they're going to shake. They're going to fall down because they know who God is. And they know what His power is. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there are certain things that we can say, okay, I do this and I do the other, and I do this and I do the other, but all those things would not qualify us to be righteous except by coming to Jesus and believing in Him as the Lord and Savior. Amen. But in fact, the Bible says that no one will sees the Father except through Jesus. Amen. So it is, salvation cannot be any other work, any spiritual work. But the work that is being talked by Paul in the book of Galatians and Ephesians is not the same work that is being talked by James. James is talking about moral work. Amen. Work that it comes as a result of us having the faith in God. Praise the Lord. And I love what he says. He says, faith without work is what? Faith without work is dead. So he says, show me. You know, you say that I will show you my faith and I don't have any deeds. And I believe if you look into a larger section, cross section of the church today, I'm talking about the general church. Many people say that they have faith, but they will not show you their deeds. Praise the Lord. Oh yeah, I believe God. I speak in tongues. I do this. Oh, I go attend this fellowship, go to this conference. I do all that. And all that is good. But James is admonishing us and telling us that faith with you, and he says that he is hungry, or he doesn't just go believe God and get warm and you know, get food. What good does it say? He says that, you know, without deeds, faith is invalid. Listening to me. That without the activity to show love, without the actual work, activity, strength, energy that is expended in displaying or rather, it's kind of like showing who you are and showing what Christ has done for you, picking up your body and going to do something to portray or to show them that you are what Christ has done for you. The faith that you say that you have is invalidated. That is what he says in the book of James. Praise the Lord. And you remember what I was telling you last Sunday, that I feel it is time for us to go out there and do some work for the Lord. Amen. It is good for us to come here and hear the word of the Lord. And by the way, I just want you to be with me and feel me in what the Lord is speaking to us. It is good for us to have a warm fellowship, to love one another and to care for one another and to feel for one another and to, when somebody has trouble. And by the way, thank you so much to Sister Elizabeth's house, you know, to help her. This do. Praise the Lord. And all of you who went to Alan's occasion, you know, they were raising some funds to help one of their brothers, you know, who has cancer back in Kenya. God has called us to do these things. Praise the Lord. And it's good to have this warmth of the fellowship. But God is calling us. I hear the voice of the Spirit crying over speaking loudly in my heart, even as I've prayed, that it is time for us to launch even deeper. Amen. For there are people out there who are absolutely less fortunate than we are. And you know what? They are waiting for our help. Amen? You'll be surprised that when you show yourself and when you have this understanding, and this is the wisdom that is being talked to, that I want to know God better. How do you know God better? By having this. This is wisdom. That when you acquire the word of revelation, when I have this word of revelation, that it tells me that there are many people who are less fortunate than I, and they are waiting for me to be manifested and pray with them. Praise be to God. I'll tell you this, man. There's sometimes when I used to, I don't even do that anymore, but we are going to resume going out, you know, to downtown and preaching and praying for people who are in the streets. There's sometimes when you look at these people and you might think that they don't have any, you know, that they lost it, they are less fortunate, and, you know, it is because of their error that they found, that caused them to find, that they caused themselves to be in the streets. But let me tell you guys, listen to me very carefully. It is by the grace of God that we are who we are right now. Amen? It is by the grace of God that we are who we are. It is by His masses. Let me tell you, you didn't do anything special, my sister Mombi. We didn't do anything special. God loves those people as much as He does to you. You know, you need to be out there, and I'm not telling all of us to go to the streets of Dallas, but God can just lead you maybe to somebody in your workplace. You know, especially you find people who are lonely and they are all alone and they don't want to talk to anybody. You'd be surprised that when you approach them, that they have been longing for somebody to talk to them so that they can pour out of the abundance of the suffering they've been going through. And you, child of God, that received the light, you are in the right position, strengthened by God, to speak into the life of that person. Listen to me. How many times we've denied ourselves opportunity to be used mightily by God? Because sometimes, you know, it is we have received this deception from the enemy. Oh, it is only pastor who can do it. It is the Lord who encouraged somebody to push them to their destiny. Hallelujah. You know what? Let me tell you guys. I love this culture, and I've told you this many times. You can be with somebody who was born here, and they begin to talk to you, and they don't know you. You know? That is a good culture. I like it. Because when they talk to you, you can also tell them about yourself. And you can tell them about who you believe. And they can, you know, before you know it, they'll be starting to tell you, oh, you know what? I was really hit hard last week. I lost my job last week. And you know what? God can tell you, you know, it is going to be well in Jesus' name. Just those words can change somebody's destiny. Do not ignore or do not look down on what God has made you to be as his child. The Bible says that, behold, I've given you power and authority to step on strongholds and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Bible says, to all those who came to me, I gave them power to become children of God. You have power to become a child of God. As you drive on the streets of Dallas, Texas, I want you to know, there might be 1,000 or 100 cars lined up, but among those cars, there is a child of God that can cause these things to change, even in the midst of those people who are in the traffic. Amen? All you need to do is speak, speak, speak. Somebody say speak. Speak a word. Speak a word, speak a word, speak a word over your situations. Speak a word over the situations in your place of work. Speak a word over people surrounding you. Speak a word of destiny over your place of work, and you see things change because God has something special in your life. Are you listening to me? And James encourages us that it is not just enough to say that we are a man of faith. I love what he says. You know, says this, that show me, you hear somebody say, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith without any deeds. But I will show you my faith by my deeds. There are people who will never ever hear the word of God, but what they will see, it is you. The way you act, the way you talk to people, the way you walk, the way you carry yourself. You are a messenger. You are the gospel. You are a walking gospel. I hear the Spirit telling me that you are a walking gospel in your place of work. You are a walking gospel when you walk in that Walmart. You are a walking gospel. You know what? Your opportunity awaits for you to be manifested. Tap somebody, tell them, who are you? They will tell you their name, and they'll begin to speak and to speak and to speak. And all it takes is just speak one word. Hallelujah. Did I share with us the other day, I told you that when Peter and James came to the gate of the temple, there was this man who was waiting for alms, and everybody would come and put a penny over there, and everybody would come and put something on his plate, and everybody would come and put a penny on his plate. But when the servants of God came by, they didn't have no coin in themselves. But they knew who they were. They were destiny changers. Say destiny changer. You are a destiny changer. Hallelujah. You can speak to your own destiny. You can speak to the destiny of your children. You can speak to the destiny of your place of work. You can speak to the destiny of your business. I'm a destiny changer. As they walked by, and this guy expected that they would also put something in their plate. They looked at him intently, and they told him, listen, man, I know what you're expecting from us, but silver and gold have we none, but such as I have. My God, listen to me, JJ. Such as I have, will I give you. Stand up and walk. Let me tell you, there are so many situations that surround us in our neighborhoods that are calling on us to go and tell those situations, stand up and walk. You've been here for too long a time. I speak a word of mobility. Stand up and walk. You've been here for too long a time. I'm manifested. I'm now the time that you've been waiting for, it has come, because I am here. I'm God sent, and I'm telling you, stand up and walk. Praise the Lord. Nobody else is going to do it except for you. Amen. You are the right candidate. You have what it takes to say, stand up and walk. Never ever look down on yourself. Never ever think that you have to study the whole Bible in order to have the revelation. Never ever think that, you know, I don't even know how to pray. You know, there's sometimes when you feel like, oh, I don't pray like so and so. He is so eloquent. Prayer is not eloquency. You can just speak two words, but those two words change a whole nation. Hallelujah. Some of the prayers that we read in the Bible are some of the shortest prayers that were ever heard. Look at what Jesus prayed for Lazarus. What did he tell him? Come out. Amen. Lazarus, come out. How many words are those? Three words. And the guy who was dead, he started coming from the sepulchre. And he started coming. Just three words. Lazarus, come out. There are people that you will find and you don't even need to pray. You don't even need to fast and pray. Because let me tell you, you have power in yourself. You just need to say it as well. There's some people, I think somebody came here and we were trying to pray over. We said, oh, I'm trusting God for a car. You know what? I said, we are not going to pray. I told them, receive that car in the name of Jesus. And you know what? I'm waiting for them to come and tell me that I received the car. Sometimes you don't even have to pray. All you have to do is declare, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have what it takes. And the world is waiting for our manifestation. I believe that this year, that God is going to lead us to validate our faith. Have you been feeling like for too long a time? Let me ask you this question. Since you got born again, how many times have you been involved in an act of kindness? How many times have you been involved in an active work of charity whereby you felt that you are motivated by your faith in God to do something unique for somebody that you didn't know? I don't want even any answers. Now, according to the book of James, if we have never been involved in that kind of an activity, then our faith is not validated. Amen? Our faith, it can only be validated by what Christ has done in us and doing to other people so that they may know that Christ is in us. Praise the Lord. And I challenge you, in the year 2016, we may have a project that we may do as a church, we may not, but I'm telling you as an individual. Last night when we went to Sister Elizabeth house, I meant I Shosho. You know, the women that we call Shosho, she takes care of children. Let me tell you, I talked to that Shosho, she's called Shosho Musembi. You look at this lady, she doesn't even, you know, you'd look at her and they're the, you know, natural. Let me talk like this, and please don't really think that I'm proud or anything. You know, there are people you can find and meet on the road. You know, you say hi, and since you don't think that you can have anything to share with them, you just, you know, go, you know, and maybe look for somebody that who has things that you can share with. She's a kind of a lady. She was so simple, the way she dresses. But this woman started talking to us with my wife there, and she was just pouring about the things that she does. Taking care, she's a widow herself. She's a widow. And she was telling us that she makes chapatis and she takes care of these children. You know, she orders chapatis and the money she gets, she doesn't even do anything with that money, but she supports orphans. Right now, she's supporting about 80 orphans. I said, what? 80 orphans in Kenya. She has organized with a pastor in Kenya that she has even never met. Eh? And this pastor is so committed, and she tells him, I will send, she even invites people to bring clothes, children clothes, and children clothes for the all kinds of clothes. And she was telling us that her room is only a very little room for her bed. Everything is packaged, boxes of clothes and things that are surrounding our room, because she sends this with a container. You know, the people that normally send goods to Africa, they come every other week and they pick up these clothes, and when they get there, she has organized a system in Kenya where these pastors goes and contacts pastors in Maasai land, in Turkana land, and everywhere within Kenya. And she says, when you take these clothes, do not sell them, give them to the poor people. I was so challenged by this one. And you know what? She told me, I have done this by my chapati money. When people order my chapati, they pay me $10, you know, $20, you know, $30. All that money, I don't even stay with it. I normally send that money right away. I said, this is a woman that you can easily ignore. But I said, in the kingdom of heaven, her position is so high. Praise the Lord. There are people that you can look and you say, wow. In fact, she was talking and I said, am I really a Christian? In fact, I was asking, am I really a Christian? I don't have to depend about chapati money. I don't even have to cook chapati in order to get my income. You know, probably maybe I get a little bit more than chapati money. But what have I done? You know, how much money do you get every week? But how do we do ourselves? How can we be seriously validate our faith by saying that we are supporting a certain cause? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If opportunity knocks on your door, because I know through the preaching of this word and the listening of this word, there's going to be opportunity that's going to knock. And God is going to speak to you. It might be a child that you might even pay fees for one day. A child that you never know. Maybe in your village, somebody who's struggling. Do you know how much money sometimes they need? It's maybe 10,000 a term. Maybe 3 terms, you're talking about maybe 30,000. Maybe a year, call it maybe even 60,000 a year. But you know how many of you, seriously, if you start saving little money there and supporting even one child, or even paying half a year for a child, that it will be counted for you in the kingdom of God, that your faith was validated. Amen. Many times, and concluding now, it is very easily, without even knowing, to be so selfish, self-centered. Everything is about me. I want to start a project, and I want to start this project because I want to benefit out of it. Am I saying that is bad, church? Church, am I saying that is bad? Please don't quote me. I didn't say that we don't need to have personal development. But even as we think about ourselves, church, listen to me. Let us think about other people that are good, that are suffering, that need our help. I see ourselves in this country as Josephs. Huh? How many people do you think go to the American embassy every day and they're denied visa? What package did you give God when you went to the embassy? They never asked for you for a statement. They even never asked to see your title deed from your father. And the clerk just looked at you and said, come for the visa at 3 o'clock. You give that testimony many times, right? And you are so happy, you even threw a party, you know? And God brought you into this beautiful land. There are many people who would want to be in your position. So let us not take it for granted. Eh? It is good for us to be self, have a personal development, but think about other people. I see ourselves as a Joseph in this land. When Joseph went to Egypt, God promoted him and he became a prime minister. He went through so much in Egypt, but ultimately God put him in a position, and a position that he never forgot his people. Amen. We see Joseph calling his people and coming back to Egypt, and you know what? Being in a position of, there was no one that was accountable to Joseph except who? Who was the guy above Joseph? Pharaoh, right? You know what? He gave them Goshen, the most fertile place in Egypt, out of exile where they didn't have food. Why? Because Joseph remembered his people. He would have chosen. Said, you know what? My brother threw me out. I don't care for them. Let them die there. You know. But you know, when the brothers come there, he tells them, it was, don't ever feel bad that you put me in that pit and I was, you know, sold me to the Ishmaelites and you sold me all that to Egypt. It was God's will that you send me, that I go to Egypt, because for such time as this, hallelujah, there are people who are waiting that you can knock on their doors. Do you know if you can bless somebody who you didn't know, somebody who you didn't even think about, somebody who you even never expected any help? Do you know the kind of prayers that they can offer to God concerning you? The Bible says that he who lends to the poor, come on, finish it for me. He who lends for the poor, lends to God. Now, let me tell you, can you imagine yourself loaning God's money? And whether he is, and could you doubt that he's going to pay you back? And if he's going to pay you, do you think he's going to pay you the same way you give him? The owner of everything, surely? He's going to absolutely give you much more than that. So I want to put a challenge for us. In 2016, we are calking, and by the way, this is not a salvation issue. So don't go telling people, oh, you know what, in Empowerment Christian Center now, they are preaching about deeds for salvation. No. That is different from what Paul was talking to the Ephesians and to the Galatians. But we are talking about, in fact, we are saved to have faith in order to do the work for the Lord. Amen? It is taking care of the widows. True religion, in fact, in another scripture says, true religion is taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans. Amen? Taking care of the orphans, taking care of people who don't have nothing. That is why God has blessed you. That is why God has brought you to the greatest nation on earth, the United States of America. See what happens, that you can take $1 and send it to Kenya. And how much does it change to? $100. Man, think about it. No, 100 shillings. If you send $100, right there and boom, 10,000, man. Can you imagine? And you know, for some of you, $100 is not like anything. You know, I know for some of you it's a lot of money, but you know, even when you have sacrificed to give $100, it might be a sacrifice, but it is greatly of high value when it gets to Kenya. Amen? Actually, you can send $100 and pay for school fees for one child in an elementary school. Do you know that? Amen. The blessings that will be streaming you. Every time that child will be doing mathematics, every time that child will be doing English, every time will be doing that child will be doing whatever they'll be doing, they'll be remembering the guy or the person who paid for their fees. Look for somebody. Call your auntie. Call your brothers. Let them get you the poor of the poorest in the village. Tell them, do not even expect anything. Find somebody who is trusted and do something this year. And you see, you come back and tell me, if God doesn't come and remember you, if God doesn't come and reward you, you come on the 31st of December 2016 and told me, Pastor, you told us and nothing did I receive. God is going to remember you. Amen? Hallelujah? Amen. So in this year, we want to step out. We want to step out corporately, but we want to also step out as individuals. Do what you can in order for us to validate our faith. Amen? And finally, in the book of the same chapter that we read, James chapter number 2, verse number 26, I like what it says. As the body without the spirit is dead, amen? So faith without deeds is also dead. Nobody wants to come near a corpse. As a matter of fact, when we have a funeral service, there are people, when there's a line to come and see the deceased or the person who is gone, some people just choose to sit on their seats. Why? Because there's that fear of the dead. There are people who don't want to see somebody who is dead. Why? Because the spirit is no more. Amen? That's how James talks about faith. He says, faith without works is just like that corpse. And I would see that people would look at that faith and say, I don't think this is really genuine faith. But genuine faith is validated by works. Amen? We are going to go out and we are going to do something for the Lord. Amen? When the disciples came together in the book of Acts, the Bible says that they sold their possessions, they sold their property, and they pulled all those things together. And anybody who had need would come and feed from the pile. Praise God. I'm not announcing that we are going to do that in this church, because all of you might run away. Praise the Lord. But at least we can do something. Amen? Stand on your feet. In Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are delighted that you have a wonderful plan to prosper us. But even as we've read your word today, God, it edifies us, Lord, even to validate our faith. And our faith is nothing less but believing, having believed in you, and to make you as our Lord and Savior, and to just shun all the evil things from the world and to allow you to lead and guide and direct our lives. Father God, you've told us that this is not just enough, but we need to take another step of faith and did what you did. Father, you set a good example for us, that when you went up to pray And when he went up even into the temple to read the word and to teach people, you also took out an opportunity to feed the hungry. We saw that you went out, Lord, even to heal the sick. You prayed, Lord, even for the lame, Lord. You opened up blind eyes. This is the works, the deeds that you want us to do, that out of the abundance that we have received from you, we may be the extension of your hands, Lord, to people who are suffering. There's somebody who is sick in the hospital, is waiting for a child of God to just come and proclaim your word upon them and declare the healing over their bodies. I pray that we shall be those people who shall go there, even as we work, Lord, and even as we enjoy the blessings of being nurses and being in the medical field, that we shall do our work, our profession. But even as we do it, Lord, we shall invoke your word to tell them, God, we know that you're the only one who can heal them. I can do what I've been taught to do, but ultimately you're the one who can heal them. And we shall speak those words, and we shall speak destinies into the lives of those people in the name of Jesus, so that our work shall also be ministry in the name of Jesus. I pray that we shall not take for granted what you have given us. We shall not take for granted who you have made us to be in the name of Jesus. And I pray that in 2016, we shall all arise, even and sense the call of ministry that you placed upon each one of us, to the glory and honor of your name. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I speak your blessing over your people in the name of Jesus. I pray that their dreams and aspirations will not be forfeited. They will not stagnate in the name of Jesus. Rather, their dreams, Lord, shall be validated. My Lord, their dreams shall gain mobility. Their dreams, Lord, shall begin to move. There's going to be activity. There's going to be construction. There's going to be heavy work being done in their dreams and aspirations in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you shall send divine connection in the name of Jesus. Send them a mentor, Lord, to lead and guide them, Lord, in what you have told them to do this year in the name of Jesus. No dream shall be frustrated in the name of the Lord. Pave a way, create a way. Let there be an avenue for their way, for everything that they have purposed to do in the name of Jesus. I call for any dream that is sleeping right now, any dream that has been killed by the enemy, I speak revival in the name of Jesus. Revival over every dream, over every aspiration in the name of Jesus. People who have been wanting to go to school, I speak favor in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I speak divine connections in the name of Jesus. Let that phone ring, oh God, the phone that they have been waiting for in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, they will give a testimony of the doing of the Lord, and you will be glorified from those things that you will do for them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, and I bless your name in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. 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 Amen.